You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday to join us, be it 6:30 a.m. on WWBC, 7:30 a.m. on 91.5 FM, WMIE, 5:30 in the afternoon for the rebroadcast. This program is brought to you by the good, by the excellent people of Island Community Church. And I thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday here today with us. We're in the book of Romans. I decided I want chapter 8 to run all the way through. So we're on no condemnation. This started yesterday, Monday. This is wrapping up today, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You'll hear the sermon I just preached on Sunday, and that is entitled God is for Me. And that's really, well, we're going to start in verse 12 there. We're going to discover that we are adopted sons and daughters of God, and then he's going to build it up to all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And that's where we're going to be here today. Again, this will wrap up, that'll be Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday night here at church, we're starting a brand new Bible study book. My associate pastor's heading that up, and that is going to be Jonah, the Old Testament prophet Jonah, 4 chapters. It's going to be an excellent study. I invite you to attend that here Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. Join us online if you can't make it. Our Facebook feed will turn on right at 6. But you are invited. We'd love to see you in person for Jonah. Here now, the book of Romans. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And that's where we are today. November 30th, year of our Lord, 2025. He's just summed up all of life right there. Men love darkness rather than light. Now, the good news this morning is you can change your standing before God before you leave today. But make no mistake about it, this monkey's already on your back. He who does not believe, he says, is condemned already. But you can change your standing, and you do that by receiving his Son. And by exchanging, now catch this exchange. You can exchange your sins for his righteousness. What else can you say other than that, right? Kind of makes you want to shout, doesn't it? What an exchange. God will take all of your sins, and in exchange for that, he'll give you his righteousness. And not only that, umanundei, he's going to pay the price for it by his own blood. God help me. Let's move on. Back to Romans 8. Back from the top. Sometimes it just makes me want to shout. He who has been forgiven of much, the Bible says, loves much. I can't help but give him glory. There is therefore now, I'm back at the top where we started. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And he's just showed you how, right? Those that believe in his name. You don't got to jump through any hoops. All that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the simplicity that's in Christ. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not any more difficult than that. All right, verse 2. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So there's two more laws for you right there. See that? Life and death. Life and death. The law of the Spirit of life, capital S, and that's found in Jesus Christ. Life in him. That's John chapter 1, isn't it? In him is life, and the life was the light of men. The law of the Spirit of life. And that law, like the law of gravity or the law of sowing and reaping, is the law of life, eternal life. When you are found in Christ. So let me ask the question, where do you want to be found today? If you were to depart and leave this world today, where would you be found? Only you can answer that. Even the Apostle Paul, the guy has been to heaven. He's hoping his prayer was to be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of my faith. That's where he wanted to be found. Let's you and I strive to be found there as well. If he can strive for it, maybe you and I should strive for it as well. What do you think? The second law is the law of sin and death. And that law goes like this. James chapter 1, verse 15, it says, sin, when it's finished with you, will kill you. Meaning sin, your unwelcome house guest, for those that were here last week, remember, we personified sin as an unwelcome house guest. He's got a free lease on the inside of you. He never goes away. You just got to learn to master it. Sin, when it's done using you, will just toss you out the window and discard you and leave you for dead. And that's really the only two laws we need to be concerned about here this morning. Life and death. Life and death. The law of the Spirit of life. That is, receive Jesus Christ and you receive the Spirit of life and eternal life. And the law of sin. Just like the law of gravity. The law of sin and death. That is, just keep doing what you're doing and your sins will find you out. If you keep this kind of lifestyle, the monkey is already on your back. It's already on your back and it needs to be removed. It's not going to be added later. It's already on your back. It's already on your back. Now it needs to be removed, and it's removed in Jesus Christ. He will exchange the monkey on your back for peace. Sound like Ringo Starr. What does he say? Peace and love. Real peace and love, right? Having your name in the book of life, having God have amnesia with your sins. Now we're talking some serious peace. Where you don't need any no-dos or whatever the stuff is to help fall asleep. Peace and love. Verse 3 informs us that keeping rules can't fix the problem. Listen to what he says. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. See, that's why they said they couldn't even recognize him on the cross. Look at what happened to the Son of God. Remember, it says, he who knew no sin, he was made to be sin. like me up in New Jersey in wintertime, gathering the snow, put a little acorn in there to really put the hurt on someone. Made to be saved. Can you imagine that? Because God loves you. I mean, and he's serious about sin, right? What the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he hears that word, katakrima, again. It says he condemned sin in the flesh. I'd have to ask the question, whose flesh? Right, Jesus's. So here you've got the Son of God. All of the sins of mankind. Out comes God's gavel. Slams down that gavel. And says, I condemn you, sin. In his own son. That's a tough doctrine, isn't it? Second Corinthians 5:21, it says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What an exchange! Look at the awesome works of our God. Look at what he's done to you, through you, and for you. Number one, he's taken away all your sins and laid them on his son. Number two, he exchanged his right standing before God for your sins. Jesus gave you his right standing. And in exchange, he took all of your sins. Number three, he took your penalty for your sins. Because the Bible's been telling us all along that the wages of sin is death. And number four, in exchange for your death sentence, he gave you the spirit of life and a life sentence. Kind of just makes you want to shout, doesn't it? Okay, now let's look a little bit more from this chapter here this morning. We still got a few more minutes, right? As long as I want, Ron. Let's go down to verse 5. As once again, the Apostle Paul is going to start doing what he does. Now he's going to start comparing the two things side by side like he always does. Okay, verse 5. He's going to compare the spirit and the flesh, spirit and the flesh. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, that would be, let's say, those who let the unwelcome house guest in you rule, all right, living according to the flesh. Listen to the sin man that's got a free rent on the inside of you. It's live according to the flesh. So those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, capital S, set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Like I've said before, you're going to have to serve somebody, either the Lord or yourself. But know and understand, if all you do is this life is serve yourself, you will never survive. How could you? If you serve yourself, it will kill you. It'll kill you. If you serve yourself, it'll suck the life right out of you. And not only that, Satan's got you pegged. Satan has pegged you as an individual who will serve themselves at all costs. Me, myself, and I. Greek word for I is the word ego. Verse 6 says to be carnally minded, that is to think like that, to be thinking only about yourself at all costs. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. Life and peace. Life and peace. Spiritually minded, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Meditate on these things. The good things of God brings life and peace. Life and peace.
life. I mean, I can't say it enough. I'm going to keep saying it. We're too busy in this world. Life, that's eternal. And peace, that is peace with your maker. Where God's condemned all of your sin in his son. Meditate on these things. Life and peace, if that's what you're lacking right now in your life, this here is where you're going to find it. Or perhaps this here is maybe where you misplaced it. Your peace. And that is not being spiritually minded. This is an evil, busy world. Have you lost your peace today? Let me encourage you. This is where you're going to find it. To be spiritually minded. I love this verse from Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are righteous, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So, true, noble, righteous, pure, lovely, good, and praiseworthy. There's a list of seven things. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. We need to meditate on these things. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. He continues, verse 7. And the consequences for getting this wrong. Okay? Starts with the word because. Because the carnal mind is enmity. That Greek word ekthros means hostile. Like when they sowed the tares, he says, who did this? Remember? He said, enemy. It's a hostile man's planted these tares. The carnal mind is hostile against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And the carnal mind is the mind that continually practices the age-old lifestyle that it's all about me. Okay? Which works with your unwelcome house guest. But it's not all about you. It's all about him. You got to change your thinking. To be spiritually minded like this, he says, is life. And it's peace. I just gave it a list. Think on those things. True, noble. This is what I do when I find myself in times of trouble. That's Paul McCartney, isn't it? True, noble, righteous, pure, lovely, good, praiseworthy. I've got to do it too because I've got an unwelcome house guest and he just won't go away. And when it rears its ugly head, man, oh man, you pull out that verse, read those things, whatever things are just, pure, righteous, of good report, praiseworthy, camp out there. Camp out there. Verse 7, he says, the carnal mind is hostile against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's move on. Now, let's wrap up this section here, verse 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Meaning, if you're a Christian, this should not even apply to you. Then he says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If anyone does not have the Holy Spirit, he's saying, you do not belong to God. He's not his. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, then your body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, verse 11, catch the conditional promise. He says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that is, if you're a Christian, then he who raised Christ up from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, that is perhaps the best definition of what being a born-again Christian means. A born-again, there's only one type of Christian. It's not a bald guy at the airport holding a sign. There's only one kind of Christian. That's those that have the Spirit of the living God. It's a born-again Christian. He who raised up Jesus from the dead will also give life to your, figuratively speaking, dead body through his Spirit. Ephesians 2:1 says this, and it confirms this. It says, and you he made alive who were dead. That's what being born again means. It means you now have the ability to beat the tar out of sin that lives on the inside of you. You he made alive who were dead. You spell that D-E-A-D in case you were wondering? D-E-A-D, dead. Dead men, well, like Johnny Depp says, a dead man tell no tales. And they don't save themselves either. How can you? You're dead. You he made alive. This is when we get to next week here. We're going to get into this end of chapter 8, probably the greatest text in all the Bible, where we see salvation is of the Lord. We'll get to that. You he made alive who were dead in transgressions and sins. And I guess this verse brings us full circle to where we started this morning, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All right, now let's sum up what we learned today. 6 points. Number one, there is no condemnation for the Christian because Jesus took your condemnation for you and died in your place. That's why he had to die. He died for you because you were helpless and unable to save yourself. Jesus steps in, takes your condemnation in your place, and dies on the cross, inspiring God to blast down that gavel and declare you not guilty. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And your sins and your lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Good news, isn't it? What else did we learn today? Number two, you have the personal choice of either one of two laws to govern us. Either the law of life, which I would suggest that you choose. I mean, you have either one of two choices. You have the law of the Spirit of life, and that's found in Jesus Christ, or the law of sin and death, which already governs us. Number three, the law didn't have the power. The law did not, keeping rules, or the law does not have the power to pay the price for your sins. The Bible's plain and clear. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Blood pays the price for our sins, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Someone has to die, and that someone is his son, Jesus Christ. So the law didn't have the, so there's no condemnation. You have the personal choice of either one of two laws, the law of life or the law of sin and death. Number three, the law didn't have the power to pay the price for you. Number four, to live only for yourself, to live only for yourself will kill you in the end. And the devil's got you on a speed dial. He says, I know you. Skin for skin. I hate quoting the devil in here. He says, all that a man has, he will give for his life. So, to live only for yourself will kill you in the end. Number five, you are living in hostility toward God when you are consumed with only pleasing yourself. It's not about you. It's about him. And when you get that right, That inspires you to go out here and be a blessing to everyone else. But get that right first. I always hear Charles Stanley say, it's our vertical relationship between Christ, between God the Father, and you. And then when you get that right, then the horizontal will take care of itself. Get the vertical right first. Lastly, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, or better yet, if you are not possessed by a spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit, then you don't belong to Him. At least, it's been that way up until now. But you can change that right here and now this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we choose you. Lord, we choose the spirit of life and not the spirit of sin and death. I've been chained to sin for too long. I no longer want to serve sin. I want to serve you. So I pray, we pray, you would break these chains from off of me. And in the place of being chained to sin, I pray you would chain me to you. Save me. I call on the name of my Lord Jesus Christ to save me. Like you promised, all who call on the name of Jesus Christ will be saved. I call on you. I call on your name. Write my name in your book of life. Break this chains from off of my heart and off of my wrist. And I praise and exalt you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. I'm going to leave you guys with this blessing here. We'll see you back here Wednesday night, hopefully, midweek Bible study. Sunday morning, we're going to pick it up here. We're going to look at probably the most famous verse in all the Bible, and that is, all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. We're going to look at how the word I is nowhere in the Bible when it relates to your salvation. It's Him. Salvation is of the Lord, praise God. Because if it was up to us, we would botch it and mess it up. Or lose it, right? Okay, I'll leave you guys with this blessing here out of Ephesians chapter 3. Thank God for this blessing. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And the church family said, amen.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.